It's Wednesday here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, joined by Brian Batko. We're going to be breaking down our full first-round mocks of the NFL draft because that is tomorrow. Get all of our picks, how we think the board will fall, and who the Steelers will take. All that here and more on the North Shore Drive podcast. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko, one of our great Steelers beat writers, and we are here to break down all things NFL draft, especially the first round and what we think the Steelers will do and what will be available to the Steelers. We're going to go over our first round mocks. Each of us have selected all of the 32 first picks. We did a no trade clause in there just to kind of simplify things, and we'll get into where we think trades could happen. But it's going to be a fun episode here. If you're ready, if you can't get any more about the draft, if you're saying, hey, I just want to see how things play, guess what? We're going to break it all down for you and get you ready for Thursday. As always, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap at all times. They have amazing food, all the televisions. And if you want to be at Mike's Beer Bar with us, you can come tomorrow night, Thursday night, and Friday night. We'll be doing a live draft show from Mike's Beer Bar, breaking things down as the picks roll their way through the first, second, and third rounds. Join us on the next two evenings, Friday, Thursday and Friday night at Mike's Beer Bar. Brian won't be there. He'll be tolling away at the Steelers facility, not enjoying one of the 500 different available beers, but maybe in spirit.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be drinking beer down there at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. This isn't the 60s and 70s, but I imagine covering the draft back then probably would have been getting into some, imbibing a little bit.
Just a little bit. Let's not delay anything any further. Both of us, I put out the call to Brian to do a full first round mock with me. We made a no trade clause because when you do trades in the first round and you're comparing mock drafts, it can get wild and freaky, and there's just so many things to do here. But we will acknowledge that, like, we both expect trades to happen this year.
Yeah,
with this quarterback class.
Yeah, I had my two kids hanging on me while I was trying to do this morning. So like my mind wasn't fully in it. There are going to be two or three spots probably where I'm like, I'm projecting a trade here. It's more of just, I think this player is going to go in this slot, not necessarily to this team, but yeah, like I said, mainly wanted to just get who I think are the top 10, top 15, top 20, top 30, top 32, and so on.
I feel you on that, because I normally play this game. When I do this, I do like a dueling mock draft with people over the years. I've done it with Dale Lally. I've done it with Jenna Harner. So I'll do it with you now. The way I always score it, like if we want to like go back and like, you know, make it a game, I say you get a point if a player is picked in the right spot, like first, second, 12th, whatever, and yeah, you get another point if it's a player to the right team. So that way you could kind of play both games like, hey, I think that, you know, Joe Alt will get drafted 7th overall to the Titans. But, you know, well, let's say he gets drafted 7th overall and someone traded up for him. Not that anyone would.
Then like the Steelers.
Exactly. So, like, you know, you'd still get a point for getting the 7th overall part, just not the team part. So that's how we'll play the game. But without any further ado, let's put it on screen here for all our YouTube viewers here. Looking at how this plays out, we both have a lot of similarities to start. Our first four picks are the same. Caleb Williams to the Bears, Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, Drake May to the Patriots, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. To the Cardinals. And actually five picks the same. Malik Nabers to the Chargers. But I'll ask you this. Is in your mind, Brian, when you're doing this and you're not, we're doing no trades here, it's five where the first trade happens, or is four where the first trade happens for someone moving up for JJ McCarthy or their quarterback of choice?
You're even hearing some rumblings, you know, from national folks that the Patriots might want to trade down.
Whoa.
And maybe somebody comes up and gets Drake May. I think the Vikings would probably be the most likely team to attempt that, but you know, Sean Payton and the Broncos are also kind of positioned as wild boys in this draft. So I do feel like if I had to bet on it, I think May goes third to the Pats. I think they'll, you know, stand pat, no pun intended. Huh. I even think, like, could it even get wonky at number two with the Commanders and Jaden Daniels? It seemed like there was some weirdness going on with that fit, but it just makes too much sense for both sides there to, you know, to send him to DC at number two. I guess there's still a possibility that QBs could go one through four if McCarthy slips in there, but obviously neither one of us have that happening. Cardinals grabbing Marvin Harrison Jr. as a potential game-changing wide receiver is sort of the piece they need to get over the top, I think, or get competitive, I should say.
I agree there. I think that they're like Marvin Harrison Jr. I think is too good of a prospect to pass up on. Now, if someone offers the Herschel Walker trade deal to the Cardinals, I think sure they'll take that. But in this scenario, I think that they'd be happy taking him fourth overall to give them what could be the best receiver in this draft class and maybe for the past several years.
And also, we have some reasons for making some predictions. And there was like a Snapchat or Instagram video that went out of Malik Nabers actually looking at houses in LA. So I'm keeping him at five to the Chargers. That convinced me right there.
We take all the rumors here. So let's get to where it starts to differ for both of us. We got at sixth overall, you have J.J. McCarthy to the Giants. Is that more of a trade-up spot, or do you think the Giants actually look at J.J. McCarthy? Because the more quarterbacks get taken in the earlier part of the draft, the better for the Steelers.
Yeah, no, I think the Vikings would probably end up moving into there. You called it, Chris. But again, yeah, just for simplicity's sake, I kept the Giants logo on there, but I do think JJ is going to go to Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, and that'll be kind of their guy for the future. They've got Sam Darnold atop their depth chart right now, so something's got to give for the Vikings.
Absolutely. We both agree that I went with Roma Dunze to the Giants at sixth overall because I actually think the trade-up might be the Chargers at five for the Vikings, but we'll get to that later. We both have Joe Alt going to the Titans at seven. That seems to be one of the more penciled-in picks for everyone here because they need an offensive tackle, and Alt's the best one in this draft class. We both have edge rushers going to the Falcons at eight. You have Dallas Turner. I have Laiatu Latu. And then this is where things start to get a little different, even more so. At nine, you have Roma Dunze going to the Bears in this situation. I have Brian Murphy the second because I do think the Bears would love a defensive presence, an interior pass rusher. I think Byron Murphy's the best one there. And then the Jets. The Jets are peculiar because I've mocked them, Brock Bowers to them like you have several times. I switched it up to go with Olu Fashanu because I saw how old their offensive tackles were, and I'm like, they need to get younger there. They need to get a premium protector for Aaron Rodgers' blind side. So I went with Fashanu there. To make a difference here. But rounding out the top 10, we're both saying Adunze's gone. The only difference is you have Brock Bowers going in top 10, whereas I have an extra tackle going there. But either way, I think that so far this plays out in a way that the Steelers would actually appreciate.
Yeah, and I don't have Byron Murphy in there, so that's one other, you know, domino to fall. And if you're looking ahead, I don't have him going till much later in the first round. The Jets are a tough team to predict. You know, they were one that the Steelers were kind of jockeying for position with last year. And I think once again, some of the needs are sort of aligned there. I could see them going tackle, certainly, as you have them doing. I could even see them going with another wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. But in this case, it's a pass catcher in Bowers. I think their number one tight end is Tyler Conklin. That's just not doing it for me. Bowers could be a guy, you know, that helps them win now and, you know, is a bridge to whoever they get to succeed Rodgers under center.
Absolutely. Let's cut to a break here. We come back. We just did the top 10 picks. We'll go through the next nine picks because that's what's going to set up the Steelers at 20th overall. We'll do that here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter here with Brian Batko. But first, we'll remind you this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, Mike's Beer Bar is going to have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. They have over 20 televisions, so you can catch whatever sporting events you want. For example, if you're joining us there Thursday and Friday night for our NFL draft show, while the draft is on, there'll also be plenty of TVs on to catch the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, the Buccos, whatever your taste is for, they're going to have all the sports there. They also have amazing food like steak on a stone. They also have pork chop on a stone, seafood on a stone, all the different meats that you could get brought to you on a heated stone where every time you cut off a piece, you just press it into that stone and you choose how well done you want every single bite. It's Mike's Beer Bar right across the street from PNC Park on Federal Street in the North Shore. It's the best bar in Pittsburgh. Go there today and join us. Remember, Thursday, Friday nights for the first, second, and third rounds of the NFL draft. It's going to be a live show. If you can't make it there, join us on a live stream here on YouTube or on X or on Facebook Live. I believe we'll also be there as well. Lots of different things going on. So join us at Mike's Beer Bar Thursday and Friday. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Brian Batko, breaking down our predictions for the first round and how things will fall to the Steelers. Now, if you're looking on YouTube and not listening to this on an audio platform, you can basically see what those predictions are already, but we'll break down a little bit further here. Going further down the board, you have the Vikings taking Brian Thomas at 11. I have him going a bit later. That's where I have J.J. McCarthy, but I think I'm doing that more so to slot J.J. McCarthy with the Vikings because I don't think that they trade up into the top three to get a quarterback. I think they have to settle there, and I think what they'll end up doing is trading up with either like the Cardinals, the Chargers, or the Giants to get J.J. McCarthy. So I think that'll happen there, and then someone will trade down maybe like the Chargers to 11, and maybe that's where Brock Bowers goes in that situation. But we both have Bo Nix going to the Broncos, and real quick here, Brian, they traded for Zach Wilson, and I think everyone was just like, meh, they're still looking at quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, that gives me a little bit of pause, but I still just think, you know, you've got to upgrade that position. And he does, you know, fit that Drew Brees mold so nicely on paper for Sean Payton that that's my best guess. But like I said, the Broncos are, you know, I don't really know what to expect from them. They could try to wait, and Sean Payton could try to stick it to everybody and say, look, I'm going to win with Zach Wilson. Watch this.
I feel you on that, but let's move forward here. At the 13, you have the Raiders taking J.C. Latham. I have them taking Quinyon Mitchell. 14, we both have the Saints taking tackle. I went Fautanu. You went Fashanu because he was still on your board. Then at 15, we both have the Colts taking corners. You have Mitchell being your first corner off the board. I have Taron Arnold being my second. Then you have Fautanu going to the Seahawks at 16. Well, I have Dallas Turner going to them at 16. Then I have Brian Thomas Jr. going to the Jaguars at 17. You have Nate Wiggins going there. And then at 18, this is where I think things can get really interesting because the Bengals, I think, need to add their offensive line. But like in my mock, I was like, I can't let Brock Bowers fall any further than this. And I think that trades again will impact this and Brock Bowers will end up going earlier. But man, if Brock Bowers fell to the Bengals, they would sprint to the podium and be like, we got another weapon for Joe Burrow. But you went with Talise Fuaga. I think that would be a great pick for the Bengals. They need more help on their offensive line. And then for the 19th pick, setting up the Steelers board on both of our ends, you have Taron Arnold going to the Rams at 19. I have J.C. Latham going to the Rams at 19. And that sets up the 20th pick here. I have two tackles of the top six that I have ranked here on the board available for to the Steelers on my board. Fuaga and Mims are those guys. You had just one in Mims. You had five of those six tackles going. And in your mock, you had them taking Mims. Is Mims kind of just like the chalk answer at this point if we're looking at it? Or do we think that there's something else at play here that the Steelers could have it up their sleeves?
No, I don't think it's chalk at all. I just think it's going to present a scenario for the Steelers where you get that ultimate choice between freakishly high ceiling guy with a lot of question marks and really high floor guy that's not the sexiest pick in a Graham Barton or Jackson Powers Johnson. I just have this gut feeling that that's what they're going to be faced with Thursday night at number 20. And I'm kind of banking on their strategy last year a little bit of, you know, investing in Broderick Jones, not really worried about the lack of experience, not really worried about some of the technique things. One anecdote that's just always in the back of my mind with their drafting is Mike Tomlin, when he was on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark a couple summers ago. And it's basically like, if you're and I assume this applies to his scouts as well, don't come to me talking about a guy's technique or his hand placement. All I want to know is pedigree. We can coach up everything else. So, and I think Omar Khan looks at the draft in a more analytical way. We know the value there is in offensive tackles. We know how much they get inflated values in the draft more than interior linemen. So I just think those two things are going to line up and they're going to go back to the Athens well in Georgia with Amarius Mims, a guy who I do absolutely think can be a stud. And, you know, could it go wrong? Sure. Is Graham Barton safer? Absolutely. Do they like him more? Maybe. I don't know. But I'm just taking a shot in the dark here with Mims, somebody who's checked pretty much every box from them as far as pro day, combine meeting, and obviously coming in here on a visit as well.
Look, it's fully possible that they would just take Graham Barton because Graham Barton is a guy who could start at center. He's an amazing athlete. When he tested very well, his relative athletic scores are literally a 9.99. There's only two guys that I have graded as first round picks who have that. That's him and the receiver Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. But again, I just think that when you look, if this was Kevin Colbert, I do think the pick might be Graham Barton. But this is now Omar Khan and Andy Weidel, who believe in value, who believe in the new age analysis of positions and what's more important in drafting for value. And tackle is a premium position. And in this year, and I talk about this in other places too, but in this year, I think that they have this is a rare opportunity to get a top graded offensive tackle with all the different guys here. Like all six of these guys that we're talking about first round, they would have been first round last year too. Like someone asked me if Broderick Jones was in this class, where would he be? I think Broderick Jones would be the third guy in this class, just like he was the third guy last year. Behind Alt and Fashanu.
I don't know about that, Chris. I think Latham is really good.
I think
even Jones Mims is an interesting one because obviously Jones started over Mims right in Athens, but Mims is a much larger human being, has a little bit more of that natural pedigree. So, I mean, those are always difficult hypotheticals to do, the 2023 draft to the 2024 draft. But I'd say maybe four at best for Jones. Although even some people now are getting more down on Olu Fashanu from Penn State as this process draft.
It's so weird. I've seen that guy fall down to like 19 or 20 in some board. Like I saw him go to the Steelers in a mock. I'm like, he's not getting that far. That's why I picked him at 10. I was like, let's just stop the cap. Like it's like he's going to go somewhere high. But I feel you. I feel you on Mims and how that is. I just think Broderick Jones, He doesn't have the questions that Mims had last year, in that he has more starting experience. Granted, he was still considered raw, but he had more starting experience, less injury history, and there's less questions there. So I just feel like he'd be a bit there. But again, even so, like I think last year you throw in Mims in last year's class, if nothing else, He's right behind Broderick Jones and would be like top 15. Whereas this year we're talking about him being in the 20s. Cause in here I have the Steelers passing him up for Talise Fuaga. And the only reason I have that is because I think I think that the Steelers believe that Broderick Jones is their left tackle of the future. I think that he is the guy that's going to be there. Fuaga is not a great left tackle, but he would be an awesome right tackle. I think he'd be a prime run blocker, and the two of them together on those sides would set up to be a nasty, physical, athletic pair who could dominate the line of scrimmage. Not that Mims couldn't be that, but I think Fuaga has the higher floor, and he doesn't have as high of a ceiling, but I think that he could end up being just as good as Mims in his career if Mims doesn't just, max out on all of his potential with his insane size and frame that he has.
Yeah, I hear you. I think that's right on, and obviously in mine, that's not even a question that they're faced with, because Fuaga's off the board to the Bengals a couple picks earlier, because they could use help at tackle. They could use help at guard, where Fuaga can play as well. So I think his versatility is going to have, what leads to both him and Troy Fautanu being gone before the Steelers are even on the clock, but you never know. I mean, teams do get enticed with the size, the athleticism, Mims, Latham, those kind of guys. It is funny to talk about how relatively weak the tackle class was last year, to the point that the Steelers did have to trade up.
Yeah.
And, I don't think they're going to have to do that this year. And like we were kind of getting at too, even if all those tackles are gone, let's say Mims goes to let's just say he goes to the Broncos for some reason or something like that. Then the Steelers, I think, would just be perfectly fine to sit at 20 and take Graham Barton and say, all right, center, let's wipe our hands of it. Well, you can't see me, but you heard me wiping my hands of it. We won't have to worry about that for a long time. And, we'll get our other needs later in the draft. So that's why I do think this isn't going to be another trade-up year for them. I thought it made all the sense in the world to trade up last year, which they did, and got Broderick Jones. But, man, you look at some of these guys like Olu Fashanu from Penn State. You should have come out last year. I mean, hey, that's everybody's individual choice, but obviously just draft stock standing wise, I think he would have been even more comfortable and secure in his placement. You know, I don't know. I think guys like Fuaga and Fa'utanu really helped their stock this year with the way they played. And obviously Mims is only a third year guy, right? So he couldn't have, and he hadn't even started to that point, but yeah, Fashion is probably the big one that you're just like, man, if you could have come out or if you would have come out,
I think he would have been the top tackle last year.
Yeah. Latham couldn't come out either. If he could have, he probably would have. And he would have gone really high. But yeah, I mean, there was just a huge fall off last year after Paris Johnson, Darnell Wright, Skoronski, if you put him in there, and then Broderick Jones. So it's not the same this year. A lot more depth and a lot more intriguing options at tackle all the way into possibly the 20s.
Absolutely. Excluding Skoronski, there were only four tackles taken if you throw in Anton Harrison later.
Yeah, I always forget about him. He's fine, I guess. He's kind of like the Tyler Guyton, I guess, of this year.
Yes.
Maybe I'm just saying that because they both went to Oklahoma, but maybe. I just feel like they're in that next tier of guys for the most part.
But I want to get into those next tier guys and how that sets up the big board for the Steelers in the second round. We'll do that with our mocks here in the next segment on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko, stick with us. We got a lot more to discuss. We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko, giving you our full first round mocks here. Let's get back to the picks that we made here. Now, we both have the Steelers going tackle. I have them going Fuaga. You have them going Mims. Both of us had them taking the option there. And your board, Mims was the last of the top six tackles that we've kind of talked about here being the guys that are worthy of the 20th overall pick. I have Mims going right after that to the Dolphins. You have the Dolphins taking Lyle Tulatu. Cooper DeJean, we both have penciled into the Eagles at 22. I have Jerzon Newton going to the Vikings. But I'll just run down the names of players that I also think are in the first round here. Jerzon Newton, Graham Barton, Nate Wiggins, Jared Verse, Jackson Powers Johnson, Adonai Mitchell to the Bills. I think that would be a heck of a hit for them. Kool-Aid McKinstry to the Lions, Jordan Morgan, Tyler Guyton, and Troy Franklin. So lots of receivers, lots of tackles on the back end there for me. Same thing, similar things here for you, but maybe with a few extra twists. You got Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, Byron Murphy goes there, Jared Verse, Jerzon Newton to the Cardinals, Keon Coleman to the Bills there. You have Michael Penix Jr. going to the Lions. I got to say, Brian, that's the one that I was like, whoa, when I looked at your mock. And I was like, I have not seen that mock in too many places. What led you to think that Penix was going to go there?
So that's another one that just pretend the leaping Dan Campbell logo is not there. I think I've got the Raiders trading up there. I think somebody else prominent. I'm not prominent. Somebody prominent also predicted that. I think it was Dane Brugler of The Athletic also suggested that would be a good spot. Yeah, that's kind of that classic move now, right, for teams. You just trade into the back of the first round. Maybe don't have to give up too much, and you get the option year on somebody like Penix, who you like, but you're not entirely sure of. So I just think he does find a way to sneak into the first round. And it's funny, Chris, you can tell you and I talk about this stuff a lot because I think there's only two or three guys that – are not in each of our first rounds. And I think there's generally more variance than that. And yet, I've got Keon Coleman in there, and you've got A.D. Mitchell in there. I don't have Jordan Morgan in mine. Mm-hmm. You don't have Penix. Other than that, the teams and the fits are different, but just about everybody, we've decided on a consensus 30 guys in the first round between the two of us. That seems unlikely, but maybe we're just that brilliant. I don't know.
Maybe we are, but hey, that's why I work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, because we are brilliant. But
even our last two picks of the first round are the same. Our 26 exactly picks same. Are yeah. the same. Positions are the same for, well, the Bills, I think everybody knows they're taking a wide receiver. So
I got a question for you. You let Adonai Mitchell slip out of your first round here.
Yeah.
Why did you think Keon Coleman would go before him?
I think Coleman's a little bit safer pick. I mean, the Bills absolutely need to hit on a receiver here, right? They can't afford to really just bet on the upside of a young guy like Mitchell. I mean, they need this guy to hit the ground running and keep catching big passes from Josh Allen and keep this window open for them offensively. Trading Stephon Diggs just told me, like, they've got a pretty low margin for error. They might even have to trade up for a receiver in this draft if they've got the capital to do it. But man, you know, Coleman is, he's a divisive player. So is A.D. Mitchell in his own right at wide receiver. But Coleman was pretty productive at Florida State. I think he's just a, you know, a little bit safer projection to the NFL than Mitchell might be. But I could see that one going either way. Even an Xavier Worthy out of Texas. I mean, I could easily see him slipping into the end of that first round, whether it's Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, who knows?
That certainly could be the case. But let's talk about how this sets up the board for the second round and what it might position the Steelers to do. We both acknowledge, look, the Steelers want to get a good center. They want to get a starting center and finally address this position since Marquise Pouncey's been gone. But in this scenario, we both have two centers off the board, Graham Barton and Jackson Powers Johnson, going before the Steelers can really do anything there. And then that sets up Zach Frazier as your second round guy. Do you think the Steelers will trade up in the second, in this scenario with the way your mock broke? Do you think the Steelers trade up for Zach Frazier in the second round, or do you think they stand pat? And if he's just not there, hey, they get who's available and then they'll like settle for like Cedric Van Pran or someone else in the later rounds.
I think it's more of the latter, and you know, not to spoil, but by the time people listen or watch this, my full seven round mock for the Steelers might be online, the Post Gazette. I think they are going to like quote unquote settle at center. And when we talk to Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin, or maybe it'll be Pat Meyer or Arthur Smith, I don't know, I think it'll be a guy that they come into the room and say, we're really comfortable with him. We know he wasn't, you know, maybe rated among the top guys at his position by the outside world, but we think he can play right away. And if it's Cedric Van Pran from Georgia, that wouldn't surprise me. If it's Hunter Norzad from Penn State, that wouldn't surprise me. They had him in on a pre-draft visit, and I think he's pretty good. He's got some respected draft analysts higher on him than others. So I wouldn't rule out a trade up. I think if it breaks this way, and I'm not convinced it will, I think it's possible that Jackson Powers Johnson could fall out of the first round. You never know how teams are going to view the center position in terms of how badly they want to address that or not, or whether they think they can wait. If it gets into a sweet spot with Frazier or Jackson Powers Johnson slipping, Omar Khan, we've seen his propensity to be nimble and move around the board and use all the picks at his disposal. Helps to have that second six sometimes when you're putting those you know, trade chart estimations together. So I could see it going either way. But yeah, I also think that the Steelers will value some of the quote unquote second tier or lesser heralded centers more than others might.
I agree that there's a likelihood of that happening, particularly because I think that Zach Frazier is valued pretty well across the NFL, and I'm not sure the Steelers will be wanting to or able to pay the compensation. Well, I guess they're always able to pay any compensation.
Yeah, but that's what's interesting about it is, like, yes, you can always make something happen trading-wise if you're willing to get silly, but I don't think Omar Khan is ever willing to get silly in that way. But it is just a very – the more I think about this draft from the Steelers' perspective, the picks they have, the perceived value of the players at their positions of need, it's a difficult arithmetic problem to get a tackle that you feel great about, a center that you feel great about, and a receiver that you feel great about with those first three slots that they own.
Right, right. I'm right with you there. So I think that that's the tough position there. And again, wide receiver is another need, but also so is corner. Like, you know, they need a slot corner. They could use an outside corner too. They could double down in corner or double dip in corner. And I wouldn't rule out defensive line or linebacker as other things they could address in this draft class.
Yeah. I think Ray Fittipaldo has them going with Max Melton, right, as a slot corner from Rutgers with their second pick. And you know, I that wouldn't surprise me. I think they probably really like him. The other guy that gets mentioned a lot as a elite slot corner in this draft is Mike St. Restille from Michigan. I think he's tough. But I will say this, Chris, as far as that being a need, I don't disagree with you that that's a very relevant player. It's effectively the 11th starter in any NFL defense, but particularly the Steelers. And yet we've seen over the years, they don't really value investing in the slot corner position very much. I sort of think that, hey, they're very happy to hit on a guy like Mike Hilton, and he can elevate the defense playing the way he did. But when it came time to pay him, they didn't. You know, they strung him along on the ERFA, RFA type deals for as long as they could. And then what? They move on to another kind of bargain basement option in Arthur Millette. Last year, a bargain bin guy in Chandon Sullivan. Like,
yeah,
I sort of feel like philosophically as an organization, they think slot corner position, there's a lot of guys who can do it. We don't really feel like we need to draft or pay somebody because there's just not a lot of game changers who are going to go and make more plays than what's schemed for them in the framework of the defense, more or less.
I agree. I think that there's a lot of, you know, trepidation as far as how they go about that process. But that's the fun part of the draft, Brian. There's so many things that can and will happen that'll change things up. You know, all we're doing is giving y'all our insights as what we've heard the needs are, where we see the fits are, what we've studied about this class. And there's a million different directions. But that's also why the draft is just so much fun. It's as crazy as March Madness as far as the different outcomes that could happen that shape the futures of all the NFL franchises. And we'll be covering it all live for you Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We won't do a live stream on Saturday. We will have all our live coverage. Brian, Ray, Jerry will be at the facility getting you all the breakdowns on what the Steelers do as well as the rest of the NFL and how this NFL draft shakes out. To read all of that, including Brian Bracco's full seven round mock, go to post.
I think this is the year I'm gonna get it all right, Chris. I think this is the year I'm gonna get every pick, you know.
Every pick right, 100%. No doubts about it. I think it's and again, it's fun to kind of just see where things go and see where we were right about things, and then we thump our chests like we were read a crystal ball or something there. But
it's gonna be very difficult to walk away with a draft that I think the outside world and the fans feel as strongly about as last year. That really everything broke their way. For the most part, last year, trading up for Broderick Jones, having Joey Porter Jr. on the board when day two started, and even some of those maneuvers to get Keanu Benton, Darnell Washington, Nick Herbig. I don't think it's going to be as widely acclaimed of a draft for the Steelers, but we'll see. Maybe Omar Khan's got more magic for year two.
Maybe we'll see. He's Brian Batko. I'm Chris Carter. Read our work at post-gazette.com. Find us here on the North Shore Drive podcast Monday, Wednesday, Friday on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to the channel to get all of the daily content that comes out from all of our sports writers here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and to be ready to watch our live stream of the NFL draft where we give our live reactions. Myself, Adam Bittner, Jason Mackey, I think Paul Zeiss, Joe Starkey might be involved. We'll also have Brian and Ray calling in from the Steelers facility. It'll be a fun show. Join us there if you're not joining us live at Mike's Beer Bar. It'll be a fun time. We'll see you then here Thursday night for the NFL draft on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.